How would you like to become a sales maverick? Damon Graywall will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Damon is he's a Canadian transportation entrepreneur and co-founder of logisticssales.com, a free global platform teaching sales and entrepreneurship. And after building cross-border logistics companies operating between Canada and the United States, he now focuses on mentoring entrepreneurs and helping students around the world gain practical business skills and opportunities. So, Damon, tell us about how can entrepreneurs and students become a sales maverick if they don't have any skills and they don't have a sales mindset?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, I think that's why we kind of created the course. I mean, is to introduce people to sales and to break down like a lot of the myths of what sales really are. So again, a lot of people think sales is I need to, sell you something that maybe you don't need, the used car salesman or sell me this pen. So there's all these connotations around sales that we're trying to break down to say, hey, you know what? Maybe look at the opportunities and see if it's even for you. And so what we try to do is just break down that kind of initial hesitation between somebody going into sales for maybe, thinking that, hey, this is strictly a sales position, but sales is also marketing. Sales is also social media. Sales is podcasting. Sales is so many different things. So we try to introduce them to that. And we just say, okay, well, if any of these things resonate with you, then sales can possibly be done by you. And then we'll provide the skills and, the stuff that you need to be able to get going into the sales process. So it doesn't have to be someone that's professional, but it's open to anyone from any age, and usually for anyone that's looking for financial freedom.
Thank you. If you lost everything today, would you be able to make it all back with your sales skills?
100%. Yeah, you learn so much about who you can communicate with, how to communicate, how to provide value to organizations or to value to anyone around you. So when you learn some of these skill sets, then you realize that you're not really trading time for money, and you can actually trade that time for value, and that value can be whatever you want it to be.
Thank you. How did you go from logistics entrepreneur to providing a platform for people to learn sales?
Well, we were teaching it privately for a while. The demand was just a little bit too large, and then we realized that people from around the world in 65 different countries were mostly English-speaking countries, but most of them were looking for trying to build their skill sets and looking for opportunities within North America. So then we decided to create a platform because it was too hard to teach one-on-one. But we decided, okay, well, let's teach one to many.
Thank you. What made you learn how to sell? Like how did you learn how to sell?
By accident. Yeah, you don't, yeah, I wasn't really taught how to sell. It was more accidentally by getting into different types of roles that involved customer service, customer acquisition. And then you slowly learn that, hey, this is actually sales. And then you start learning the processes behind it.
Thank you. Tell us about the top sales objections that people tend to encounter, and how do you teach people to overcome those objections?
Well, number one is always price, right? So that's usually the first objection that you typically get. Or maybe even before that, it's about, whether they even need the product or service or they don't. And so in both of those situations, what you want to do is actually be able to explain what the product or service really is. And then if it's a price objection, try to base it more on value and what you're actually delivering to that person. Because a lot of people, even if you have the same product side by side, there's a different value proposition for each one. It could be things like the guarantees that it has, could be the service that comes with it. But again, so many things that could allow you to be able to differentiate to show the different value. So same when you see two vehicles, right? So when you see, like, let's say a Honda Civic and a Mercedes-Benz, and you say, okay, well, which one's got more value? Obviously, one, they both have four wheels and they both have a body of a car, but one is definitely going to have a little bit more value than the other one. And so, people will start explaining that, whether it's the interior detailing, whether it's the engine size, whether it's the way it's manufactured, but different aspects of it to be able to show people value. But when you put two things side by side and you get those objections, then again, you're going to have to figure out how to overcome them. And a lot of it is just the way that you're communicating and the way that you can deliver the pitch to the client.
Thank you. Let's go through some sales objections. For example, let me think about it. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say, well, is there any reason why you're not able to make a decision right now? So I'm just trying to inquire more about what truly that means. So if you're saying, let me think about it, okay, is there any aspect of you know, do you need any more information for what you're looking to think about? Like, so I'm trying to dig a little bit deeper into what that question or objection really means to really understand you, so I could, again, figure out which part of my, you know, toolkit, I always call it. So again, is those are the answers or value adds that I have for my product or service that I can deliver you in that moment.
Thank you. Let's say if someone says the price is too expensive for this course that you're offering, what would you say to that?
So yeah, I would definitely say, you know, definitely the price is expensive for you know, or we commonly get this objection, you know, quite often. A lot of people do find this to be a little bit expensive for what they need right now. But if I'm, you know, if you give me 2 minutes, let me, you know, allow me to explain what this course is, what, you know, all about. So again, it's just having that conversation to just, you know, say, okay, well, maybe I've done, you know, I haven't done the product or service justice. How can I explain a little bit more to it? But definitely don't want to underestimate or not really deny what the person's saying. So it's always about acceptance first. Accept what the person's saying, really listen to them, because for them, it could be expensive, right? Even for me, it might be like, oh, well, hey, you know, our course is free, or it's, you know, it's like a very low price. But then again, it's about understanding the client to give that response.
Thank you. What about if they say, if a sales objection is, let me consult with my wife or my husband?
Okay, yeah. And then I would be like, okay, is there any information that you would require for your wife to make that decision when you go consult her? Is there anything else that I can provide for you at the time? And then you're again, really trying to get them to open up. But then you would try to lead them into saying, okay, well, you know, how would your wife feel about you making this decision now, right? Do you think she would want this for you? So you can leverage whoever that person is to bring them into that conversation. But again, I would say do it honestly, do it ethically. You'll gauge that from the person as they're communicating.
Thank you. If someone says, I see the value of what you're offering, but I really can't afford this right now.
Yeah. So at that point, I'm just saying, okay, you know, I understand you can't afford it right now. You know, do you mind if I stay in touch with you down the road? And if there's a better time where you may see that this product or service may fit you better. And so again, it's just, I'm not going to sell somebody something that they don't want or need.
Thank you. I saw a lot of other competitors offering something very similar at a cheaper price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is definitely going to be competitors in this marketplace. And so I'll let you know, if you let me know which competitor you saw, I can definitely give you a comparison about, you know, the two of us. So you can get a side-by-side comparison of actually what we both do.
Thank you. I saw that you had some bad reviews online.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to go into those as well. Do you mind telling me where those reviews are, and we can take a look at them together to address any concerns? So yeah, just keeping the conversation going.
Thank you. Tell us about what are the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make when trying to sell anything?
The biggest mistakes, I think, sometimes not even understanding your customer properly. You're not really listening to what they have to say. And so that acknowledgement is really key to making sure that, okay, hey, we're both on the same page. And then also understanding, you know, I think entrepreneurs and salespeople in general in the beginning do really well because they're really starting their business and they're really customer centric. But, you know, as they go along your business, I think they get clouded with a lot of things and then they start losing the focus of truly serving the customer.
Thank you. How does an entrepreneur go from not selling anything to making their first sale, considering perhaps if they're selling something that's relatively high ticket or mm-hmm. something that they're that is over the number that they normally sell at? How do they become comfortable with that number? Because perhaps they are a little bit scared or a little bit anxious of having that first sale.
Yeah, it's just you have to put the reps in. So regardless of anything that you're selling, it's about learning. It's a learning curve in the beginning, and the first little while is that time to say it's okay, you know, if I'm not making the sale, but am I learning and am I growing? And so a lot of it is just, you know, product knowledge, the research. And then anytime you get asked a question is to make sure, okay, if I didn't have the best response for that client, next time I get this opportunity, I'm going to make sure that I've done my research so I can provide that information to them right away.
Thank you. How does someone, what kind of mindset shift should an entrepreneur make so that they can go from broke to earning consistently?
I think it's really envisioning what you want for yourself. The clearer you are on the goal that you want, what you want to attain, and then figure out what steps you need to take to get there. Again, do I need the right team? Do I need different ways to package my product or market my product to be able to attain that? Am I doing enough in my day-to-day when it comes to prospecting? Is there enough people out there that I could even sell this to hit those numbers that I want to get to? So again, the clarity and the steps that go along with it are important to help you get to whichever place you want to get to.
Thank you. Does someone who is really great at delivering a product or a service, is it a requirement that they become really great at sales? Or tell us how people can leverage other people to make sales without them doing anything?
Yeah, again, it goes back to the training, how you provide that training to somebody. Some people do pick it up naturally. Right. So there's always going to be people. I did this in a lot of the companies that I was at. I wasn't taught how to do sales, but I was really good at doing sales. But it was just more understanding what we needed and required to operate and understanding what the customer was looking for as well as understanding what the company was looking for. So again, you can create procedures, you can create sales programs to get people to do what you want them to do. And again, it's how we provide them with that foundation. Anybody with a solid foundation is able to go out and do sales. And as long as they understand the product or service, and that's usually the job of the entrepreneur or the person that's trying to get, the product sold, like you have managers in place, you could do it, through somebody that a third party sales training company. But there's so many different ways that you can leverage to get someone else to do the sales for you. But it may not be as well as you may do it. So that's something you want to take into consideration.
Thank you. Can an entrepreneur who is really bad at sales, can that entrepreneur leverage other sales closers for them to sell for him, for example, without him actually being great at sales? Because basically these closers are good themselves. Does it ever work like this, or does the entrepreneur have to be really great at sales himself in order to be able to teach the closers how to do it effectively?
Not necessarily. It's anyone can do sales. And what we say is sales is just basic customer service. It's basic communication. So one is I would talk to the entrepreneur and say, hey, you know what? If you don't feel like you're great at sales, what knowledge do you have that we can extract from there that we can give to the next sales rep? And any entrepreneur knows the foundation of their business really well. I have not seen an entrepreneur that can't sell. Regardless, I've seen people with, again, very little English speaking ability to and still be able to sell and communicate. I've seen people with, again, very diverse backgrounds, and everyone's been able to communicate and sell at some extent. There are going to be better people, so you can hire better, you can hire smarter. And sometimes it's just some, if you're lacking and you're more busy in the operations and you don't have time to do sales, then you can definitely find that sales rep. But again, it's how well you train that person, and support that person is how well they're going to be doing in that sales process.
Thank you. If someone has zero today, how can they make their first $2,000 sale?
Well, first you got to find a company to work for, right? So it's looking for the opportunities. You're going to have to find those. Again, do you want to look for smaller items? It's about figuring out, okay, what type of commissions can I make? What does that sales cycle look like? So if you're able to answer some of these questions, you'll be able to find the right opportunity to make the right amount of money that you're looking to make.
Thank you. What's the biggest lie that's keeping entrepreneurs broke today?
A lot of them just it's a mentality of I can't do this. It's a thinking small versus thinking big. And so when you think big, you're willing to grow yourself. And you're willing to grow the people that are on your team. But I think when you're thinking small, you just automatically brush everything off and you say, well, hey, I'm not going to be as big as that guy. And it's really the limitations that we set on ourselves. So the limit of our mind is what keeps people below where they need to get to.
Thank you. What keeps entrepreneurs broke? Is it a lack of skill or a poor mindset or both?
Yeah, so similar. It's that mindset. The mindset is the thing that's going to keep you broke. Also, when you're not able to pick yourself up, that you need that motivational energy to get going and start acting. So there's a lot of people that will take in information, but they won't act on it. And so that fear that comes into us to not act, or we don't have that drive to act on what we actually believe in, is the part that's going to keep you broke.
Thank you. Should entrepreneurs embrace rejection and just take it as part of the process, or should someone only aim for winning? And how should they be coping with failure or rejections?
When it comes to rejection, always know that that's going to happen. So that's a given. But it all starts with your mindset too. Anytime I go into a meeting, anytime I go into a sale, I'm already thinking win, win, win. So it's not about, the mindset has to be there to always win. And rejection is just part of that process. It's just, we always say in sales is a no just means no, not yet, maybe later.
Thank you. How many rejections should someone expect to go through before they get their first sale?
Again, depending on the ticket item, if you're a high ticket item and you're finding the wrong prospects, like if you're trying to sell Rolex at an elementary school, you're probably not going to have a lot of luck. And so you may have to go through hundreds of rejections to find that one kid, maybe if there's one kid there that can afford it, or his parents can afford it, you might be able to leverage that into a sale. But it again depends on how you're really structuring your sales process and who, if you find your client, your target audience, are you really able to target them the right way?
Thank you. What separates the top closers from the ones that are just getting by?
Top closers know how to close a sales cycle a little bit faster. They're a little bit better at reading people. They're really good at understanding who their target audience is and communicating with that audience. And they could tell right away whether somebody fits that, client profile, right away versus having to wait. So they're able to ask the right questions. They're very calm in the way that they do their sales. And that's typically, a sign of a good closer is that they're just extremely good at, like, one, again, listening, building those relationships, and then, delivering exactly on what the customer really wants.
Thank you. How does someone leverage the fact that most clients require multiple touch points? They require that they see you basically multiple times, that they see the same presentation, that they get in touch with you, that they see you on social media multiple times so that they can make a purchase. How can someone leverage this information knowing that most people will require as many as 20 different touch points with you before they actually buy?
For sure, yeah. So it's saying, okay, well, how can I create a system in place, whether it's through social media, emails, phone contacts, all these different ways that, or in-person visits, all these different ways that we can communicate with somebody. How do I create a system that's going to show me that I can get at least, 10 touch points? How can I break down my one single pitch that I typically may do in a scenario and break it down into small bite-sized pieces where I can still give people presence? And, again, make them comfortable with who I am and build that trust in the meantime to be able to get to a point where I could deliver those 20 touch points to make that sale. And typically we see this in large ticket items and usually business to business.
Thank you. What's the best way to have the fastest quantum leaps in sales, aside from actually just trying and keep, speaking to as many people as possible? Is there any other thing that will fast track people in their closing sales journey?
100%. Yeah, it's massive action. So when you are taking lots and lots of action, what that's doing, it's actually training you to become better, better, better. So again, it's that combination of massive action and learning from what you're actually doing. So if you're actually learning and growing, through these conversations, it's going to make you a better individual when it comes to doing sales because you're getting the practice and the more human interactions you are able to have, and the more time that you face different scenarios, you're going to learn from those and just become better, better, better. So you'll actually become very accelerated the more you do. So I know in sales, when there's people that are going to make 10 calls a day, but then there's people that can make 50 in a day because they just know how to organize better and they know how to, not stay in those down moments and just be able to move forward all the time. So again, those guys are going to definitely have better success. And people also learn, they transition from quality. Or sorry, quantity to quality as well. So as you get more perfected in your sales pitch, right, again, you're not pitching the wrong people. You're actually able to find the right people quicker and actually land those deals a little bit faster.
Thank you. How do you become a tough entrepreneur so you're able to cope with rejection? Because rejection can be a very demoralizing, demotivating thing. And I think, especially in the very beginning, when you have no experience, the very first few rejections can be so demoralizing that I would say that's one of the reasons why millions of people are afraid of selling.
Yeah, so a lot of this goes into again, your foundation. How are you built as an individual? Are you taking care of your body? Are you taking care of your mind? So that's part one. Part two is, again, the visualization process of saying, okay, what situations am I going to face? So a lot of entrepreneurs can already create worst case scenarios and say, well, how am I going to react in that type of situation when that happens? And then it's making sure that, you know, again, bounce back ability. Are we able to bounce back from any negative occurrence that happens in our company? Or again, if we have the long-term mindset of saying, hey, everything works out to be okay, let me just keep moving forward. So it's that bounce back ability to get up and just get going and take action on something and don't let it sit there. And again, the longer you let something sit there, and it's just going to make you suffer even more. So you're not able to get out of it.
Thank you. How do you stay consistent when things don't work out?
So consistency, again, it's that same foundational base where you need to be, again, physically good. You need to be mentally good. Emotionally, you need to take care of your foundations for yourself, whether that's spirituality as well. And again, build yourself up to a place where, again, you can come in and you have the right type of energy to be able to execute on your sales goals.
Thank you. Why do people say they want sales success but don't do the work?
Everybody wants more money, right? That's the thing. Everybody wants more, but when it comes to the action point, nobody wants to put the action in there. Nobody wants to face rejection. Nobody wants to face criticism. Nobody wants to be, you know, whatever they have to deal with. But when, you know, as soon as they have that resistance to what they want, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, how do I get out of this situation? How do I get free from this thought that I'm having inside? And a lot of people just, you know, want without having to put the work in. Like, again, how many people want to wake up at 4 a.m. to get prepared for your day in sales, right? Am I going to do the proper work? Am I going to do the proper research? Am I actually going to take time to spend off hours to make myself, you know, give myself the most chances to succeed in something? So again, those timelines can be condensed or they can be stretched out. And when they get stretched out too much, it does make it difficult to succeed for sure.
Thank you. What's the biggest pattern you've noticed from people leveraging your platform to learn sales and actually getting results with it? And how can entrepreneurs leverage those kind of patterns for their own sales success?
For sure. I think it's the foundation that we build. It's all based on honesty, ethical, you know, practical skill sets. Again, the business ethics is big because it's about how we do it, how we feel when we do it. So again, building a solid foundation and going back to the basics. And we give, you know, realistic timelines too to people. You know, when it goes into the sales process, we say, hey, you know what, this may be a you know, 6 month journey, 12 month journey, 18 month journey for you to even just understand it properly and to be able to execute effectively. So again, if we're okay with the learning curves and understanding that, you know, it's that foundational base that we try to give people and make it more practical. We're not trying to sell people, you know, hype dreams where we're like, hey, you know, you're going to come in today and, you know, a week from now, you're going to be doing this, this, and this. It's like, well, you get to choose, but we're going to give you a little bit of practical advice. And if you have a solid foundation, you know what to expect going forward.
Thank you. What belief is keeping people silently broke?
It's that mindset of they make a mountain out of a molehill. And so when people start thinking about too many steps or they're taking advice from the wrong people, so again, only take advice from the people that have actually done it, because everyone else is going to come in and say, hey, man, yeah, you could do this. You could do this. You got to do this, this, and this. You got to invest in this, this, and this. So they're going to give you a lot of this advice, but you're going to hear so much different advice, which may overwhelm you. And again, a lot of people will make this mountain out of a molehill. Whereas, you know, for, you know, the more you can break it down to practical steps, the easier it is to get started. And so again, that's the major thing is, again, if people make it too big, then you're more reluctant to start. You know, like no one's going to go to a gym in one day and get a six pack. That's not practical. But if you just tell the person that if you just focus on these routines, you focus on this type of diet, you'll get the results that, you know, eventually you'll get those results. And typically from a person that's already done it, because they understand what that beginning was really like.
Thank you. How does someone go from feeling like a victim and having lots of excuses as to why they didn't succeed to taking control, taking initiative, and making changes that lead to long-lasting sales success?
Yeah, so that's a mindset shift again, is saying, okay, well, do I want to become the victim in every situation? Do I want to blame external factors? And when can I flip that around? The mindset is saying, okay, well, I'm in control of my life. You know, am I going to let everyone else be in control of my life? all, you know, for my financial freedom, or can I start taking control of this? So when we realize that everything is in our own hands, like we can choose where we want to work, we can choose what skills we want to develop, we can choose what type of commission structures we set up, we can choose any entrepreneurship opportunities we want to go into. We have a choice for so many different things. And when we start taking accountability for that ourselves, then we realize, okay, hey, we need to switch out of this victim mentality into a prosperous one.
Thank you. If someone is broke today, what uncomfortable action should they be taking first?
Again, ask yourself I think it's asking ourselves that question and saying, what do I truly want? And am I willing to put the steps in to be able to achieve it? So we have to ask ourselves that question first to say, you know what, am I okay being broke? Some people are, you know, some people like to stay in that mentality of just, you know, like, hey, I'm okay living paycheck to paycheck. And then so something needs to transition within them to say, okay, I want more, but I'm willing to do more to be able to get that, or I'm willing to change what I'm currently doing to get different results. So again, that mindset shift has to happen first.
Thank you. What's the uncomfortable truth people need to hear so they can make a shift in their mindset?
Can you say that one more time?
What's the uncomfortable truth people need to hear so they can make a mindset shift for success?
I don't think there's necessarily an uncomfortable truth, because again, some people are okay being in the position that they are. And so it's truly just asking that question to yourself again and saying, am I comfortable being where I am? Can I accept where I am today? And then if I want more, then that should be a choice that, you know, I can make comfortably. And if I want more, again, then that's when, again, the universe is going to start opening up. It's when we make a mental shift to say that we want something else in our life, or we're looking to change the way that we do things to create different outcomes. And so I really think it's, you know, again, there's no real uncomfortable truth there, unless, you know, we could be just truthful to ourselves first.
Thank you. If you could teach your younger self a lesson about sales, or about something that led to your current success, what would it be?
Get exposed to these opportunities a lot sooner in life. And secondly, is just have bigger dreams and aspirations than what I had at the time. So again, it's learn this formula if you can in life. It's a formula for financial freedom. If you learn about these type of opportunities, even if you know you don't have to take them, but just knowing that these opportunities exist is one of the key foundations to achieving financial freedom. And just knowing that it's possible at any age, regardless of your background, finance level, education level, there's no real limitations when it comes to doing sales, and every business has a sales component to it.
Thank you. What awakened the Titan within?
What awakens it within is just, again, set goals, right? When you get amped up about what you could achieve in life, and know that everything's in your hands and you're not waiting for someone else to give it to you, then you realize what true freedom really is. And that freedom is what really awakens you up to say, wow, you know, there's a lot of potential that lies within me, right, as an individual. And now, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the course, but I've seen people do things that they never thought was even possible. And sometimes, you know, people thought they were limited because they're looking at external factors, whether it's, you know, managers, supervisors, parents, teachers, and, you know, you're waiting for approval from all these people, but you don't really need it necessarily. And you know, when you realize that, you know, I can give myself approval and I could give myself these type of opportunities, I just need to learn how to do it. And just, you know, again, once I am exposed to this side of business or entrepreneurship, anything's possible. So when you know anything's possible, like, that's where you get the energy from. If you don't think it's possible for you, you're not really inclined to get up out of bed even. It's when you know things are possible and things are going to change and you can make that change. It's like going to the gym. You know, you're never going to get the results unless you get there. But if you know that, you know, you can visualize yourself and what you're going to look like, you know, a year from now, you know, 6 months from now, then you're more inclined to get up and go do it. And so that visualization has to happen first to really wake you up.
Thank you. What rituals or habits or routines or apps did you leverage to become the successful entrepreneur today?
Definitely nowadays, there's so much that's happening with technology that can really accelerate your sales success. So again, depending on where you are in that journey, like, you can go from a simple spreadsheet, but again, it's making sure that you take that information down and know how to use the information going down the road. So a lot of people will do sales, And especially if you're not experienced at it, you'll lose a lot of your prospects. You'll lose a lot of those conversations. And then you always have to restart. But knowing that, okay, well, if I could use some tools to just get organized and to understand that, hey, if I'm going to be in this industry for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever amount of years down the road, you know, whatever you start today is going to be with you for all that time. And it just compounds. So just understanding, like, there's all these things that you could do to compound your success. And again, just imagine the type of person you could be 5 years from now.
Thank you. What values or motivators did you have in your life that propelled you to become an Awakened Titan?
Definitely some of the ones that we see on social media, like definitely attended some of the Tony Robbins courses. So definitely is, you know, some of these things that you're able to put into your mindset, start changing the way that you behave, start changing the way that you think. So those become important. It's also the people that love you in life, you know, whether it's my grandparents and my first employer who believed in me and gave me the opportunity to work with him. So you find loving people along the way. And again, for me, that was a big driver of success, is just having someone believe in you.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
They can connect on our website, logisticssales.com. You can also look me up on LinkedIn. And then if you go to the website, we have all our socials listed below, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn, right? So yeah, you can find us on any of those platforms. And yeah, reach out to us, leave comments in our social media handles, and we'd love to help you along your journey.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.